In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of Exodus tells us the story of the Lord hearing the cries of his people in Egypt and working his rescue operation. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, says the Lord to the Israelites. And though the Lord's power is so often hidden from us, in Exodus there is a blessed glimpse of who our Lord is as he reveals his power and raises his hand both to punish those against him and to rescue his own people. In case there would be any question in Pharaoh's mind of who is in charge and whom the Israelites belong to, the Lord will make it known in a series of miraculous plagues. This is Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." You know how this story goes. Here's what Pharaoh had said to Moses earlier. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." And then came the plagues. And though it looked like Pharaoh might just wise up and turn God's people loose, he ended up hardening his heart in refusal and rebellion. It is absurd to us how hard Pharaoh fights against God, in spite of the miracles literally in front of his face, some of them landing on his face or blistering on his face. You could read through Exodus 7 through 11 and hear again of the blood and the frogs and gnats and flies and death of livestock and boils and hail and locusts and darkness for days and the death of the firstborn. C.S. Lewis once said that seeing is not believing for us. We can always just say we've been the victims of an illusion. If we disbelieve in the supernatural, that's what we'll always say. And absurd as it is, Pharaoh's story is the story really of every soul before it is captured and rescued by Christ. It is rebellion and refusal of God. And even the unconverted sinful nature in me plays the same way. The grace of God that I've seen, and by the gift of faith, I believe that God is in charge and that he is good and that it is nothing but stupid to ever fight against him. But the sinful heart in me fights and doubts and plays God anyway. So it must be killed today in repentance. It has to die with Jesus, who baptized it to death with him. And that is how it goes for us. God has raised his mighty hand and drowned us to raise us, called us out to give us a fresh start, rescued, redeemed, revived, and repurposed us. So here's what the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh. "By now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. See this power? The gods of Egypt are fakes, but the Lord is God alone, and his power is real. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. He could stretch out his hand and we'd be wiped out. But look how he uses his power for his people. I will rescue you and take you to be mine. And we'll get you a new home, a promised land. I'll take you safely there and you'll be freed to live with me. And for all of that, there he is, stretching his hands out on a cross, not to wipe us out, but to win us. He lays his power down, and he is under the judgment, and he is the dead son, and then alive, and ascended and reigning. And this is the most beautiful glimpse of the glory of God that we have yet seen. It is by this that he will escort us all the way safely home, where we will finally and fully be free to live with him. Let us pray. Lord, we have witnessed your power again today in the way you revealed your mighty name before Egypt and Israel. Help us to believe that you are God alone and that your son's cross is his victory and our victory over Satan. By the power of your holy gospel, rescue us from our sins and our doubts and make us your people. Strip away our false gods for good. As we mark an anniversary of 9/11 today, Lord, give us and our whole nation repentant hearts. Help us to again rethink our lives, reset our hearts and attitudes that they might be toward you. Keep us vigilant in the midst of this present evil age, and yet give us rest in knowing that you are a sure defender and will be with us into the unknown future. We beg of you to restrain the devil and those who work with him, and guide and bless America, and give us godly resolves. Please do not abandon us, dear Lord, but keep us until your Son returns for us. And use the difficult and painful memories of this day to draw people to seek you for their rest. Be near and comfort those who mourn. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.